Preshu Padreshu
Nasta Preshu Padreshu
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya
Bhagavadiyatam Shloke
Bhagavadiyatam Shloke
Bhakti Bhakti Naishtike
Bhakti Bhakti Naishtike
Four sides of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest. Let us offer respect and obeisance unto the personality of God in Narayana. The Narayana Rishi, the supermost human being. Of the Mother Sarasvati, the Goddess of Learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. By regularly hearing the Bhagavatam and rendering services unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome within the heart becomes practically restored almost to nil. And transcendental loving service unto the glorious Lord, whose praise of transcendental hymns comes into being established as an irrevocable fact. For reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, Text Number 8, the son of Drona punished. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The great sage Vyasadeva, after compiling the Srimad Bhagavatam and revising it, taught it to his own son, Sri Sukadeva Goswami, who was already engaged in self-realization. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentation on the Brahma Sutras, compiled by the same author. This Brahma Sutras, or Vedanta Sutras, is meant for those who are already engaged in self-realization. Srimad Bhagavatam is so made that one becomes at once engaged in the path of self-realization, simply by hearing the topics. Although it is especially meant for the Paramahansas, or those who are totally engaged in self-realization, it works into the depths of the hearts of those who may be worldly men. Worldly men are all engaged in sense gratification, but even such men will find in this Vedic literature a remedial measure for their material diseases. Sukadeva Goswami was a liberated soul from the very beginning of his birth, and his father taught him Srimad Bhagavatam. Amongst mundane scholars, there is some diversity of opinion as to the date of compilation of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is, however, certain from the text of the Bhagavatam that it was compiled before the disappearance of King Parikshit and after the departure of Lord Krishna. When Maharaj Parikshit was ruling the world as the king of Bharatvarsha, he chastised the personality of Kali. According to revealed scriptures and astrological calculation, the age of Kali is in its 5,000th year. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled not less than 5,000 years ago. Mahabharata was compiled before Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Puranas were compiled before Mahabharata. That is an estimation of the date of compilation of the different Vedic literatures. The synopsis of Srimad Bhagavatam was given before the detailed description under instruction of Narada. Srimad Bhagavatam is the science for following the path of Nivritti Marg. The path of Privritti Marg was condemned by Narada. That path is the natural incarnation for all conditioned souls. The theme of Srimad Bhagavatam is the cure of the materialistic disease of the human being, or stopping completely the pangs of material existence. Sasamitam Bhagavatam Kritmanu Kramya Chatmajam Sukamadya Payamasa Nivritti Niratam Muni. The great sage Vyasadeva, after compiling the Srimad Bhagavatam and revising it, taught it to his own son, Sri Sukadeva Goswami, who was already engaged in self-realization. Oma Gyana Timurandasya Gyana Gyana Salakaya Chasu Sumuratam Nina Tasmai Sri Gurve Nama Sri Chaitanya Manom Vistam Shabdam Inam Bhutale Swayam Rupagata Mayam Vitati Sambhatantitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Manom Vistana Sri Advaita Narayan Shasi Krikota Vrindam Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of Vedic knowledge, just like fruit. When it is touched by a parrot, it becomes much sweeter. Does anyone know that? Did you know that before? When a parrot touches fruit, it becomes much sweeter. This is mystical, mystery. So, in the same way, Vedic knowledge, when it's touched by the lips of a pure devotee, it becomes so much sweeter. And this sweetness goes on, ever, ever increasing. You see? Ever, ever increasing. It never deteriorates. It never stagnates. Krishna consciousness is a dynamic process. It becomes sweeter and sweeter and sweeter by the association of the Vishnu Jams, of the pure devotees of the Lord. By their association, even the Supreme Personality of Godhead's pastimes, which are unlimitedly wonderful, but they become tinged with more sweetness. So this is the beauty of the pure devotee, that the pure devotee can add to something which you is unaddable. This is a mystery, you see. How can you add anything to Krishna? You can't add to Krishna because Krishna is not addable, isn't it? You can't add him. You can't say Krishna plus one is Krishna plus one because he's unlimited. But the mystery of Krishna is that his pastimes and his devotees, his entourage, his abode, they are all unlimited. There are no limitations. And therefore, when the pure devotees sing the glories of Krishna, then they add this special nectar. That nectar can be experienced from hearing of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada once was explaining that by preaching the message of Krishna, the Srimad Bhagavatam, that one can taste the nectar which is coming from the lips of Krishna when he is kissing in the rasa dance. That's how powerful preaching the Srimad Bhagavatam is. When Krishna is dancing in the rasa dance, he passes a nectar from his mouth into the mouth of the gopis. This nectar is you cannot even conceive of it, how wonderful that nectar is. Very, very special. And the same nectar can be gotten from explaining the Srimad Bhagavatam, from preaching. Prabhupada said, from preaching the Srimad Bhagavatam, the same nectar can be experienced. So in that same way, Śrīla Sukadeva Goswami, he is the son of Śrīla Vyāsadeva, and Sukha means parrot. So he is the transcendental parrot. In the spiritual world, there are transcendental parrots. And Sukadeva Goswami, he is Śrīmati Radharani's parrot, a personal parrot. So no one else would be able to describe, because when Krishna left the planet, nobody else would be able to describe so sweetly Krishna's pastimes. So, therefore, Srimati Radharani sent her own parrot, the Sukadeva Goswami Kam, to explain. So that's why he couldn't mention the name of Srimati Radharani. You always have to use some indirect term. Because if he would have mentioned it, he would have taken him 6 months to finish the verse. You see? Because he was the eternal consort, the eternal associate of Srimati Radharani. In Vrindavan, there are many parrots. They go backwards and forwards carrying messages from Krishna to Radharani, and also Vrinda. She has many parrots which she controls, and they all carry her, all the, just like here you have portable phones. In the spiritual world, there are portable parrots. You see, if you want to get a message to the other side of Vrindavan, you may have a parrot. The parrot goes there. And that's why parrots can speak. Have you noticed the parrots? They can hear something and repeat it. They don't necessarily understand it, but they can repeat it. Of course, I don't know about transcendental parrots. But I know here the parrots, they can also speak what they hear. So therefore, you can tell a message to a parrot and then send him to another place and he'll repeat the message. You see? And the only trouble is he repeats it to everyone. So, the Śrīla Sukadeva Goswami, originally when he appeared in the womb of Vyasadeva is wife.
Vyasadeva is
Satyavati. So he painted a woman with Satyavati. He was impersonal. He was an impersonal. He wouldn't come out. He said, what is the use of coming out? In here and out there is the same thing. See, in persons are like that. In here, out there, it doesn't matter. It's all one. Whether I'm outside your womb or inside your womb, it doesn't matter. So Satyavati, she was very disturbed. For 16 years he stayed in the womb. So she thought, when is he coming out? You see? When is he coming out? So then Srila Vyasadeva began reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam. He began reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Sukadeva Goswami, he was immediately attracted. He was immediately attracted to that pastime of Krishna. Now this is very, very important because he was situated in Brahman. He was situated in impersonal realization. So this is very mystery. Why was he wasn't attracted to come out into the material world. He had no attraction to come to the material world, yet he was attracted to Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is a great mystery. Because actually an impersonalist who's situated in Brahman, they are beyond matter. So nothing can attract them, because they're beyond matter. Impersonal Brahman realization means beyond the material world, into the Brahma Jyoti. So they're situated in the Brahma Jyoti. So the Brahma Jyoti is made up of unlimited effulgence from the body of Krishna. There's no variegatedness there, but there's this incredible unlimited bliss. There is Sat and Ananda, but there's no Vigra. There's no Vigra. There's Sat Chitananda. Satchitananda Vigraha is the spiritual abode, but in the Brahma Jyoti, Vigraha is not there, variegatedness is not there. So therefore, Sukadeva Goswami, but he was immediately attracted to Krishna's pastimes. And therefore he came off the Brahman platform, not came off, but went higher. So he became actually a great devotee. So then when he came out of the womb, he was immediately left home. He just came out of the womb and left. So the parents were shocked. A child has come and gone. And he was so pure that even he walked past, he was, by his mystical potency, he was 16 years of age. The Prabhupada said he was developed. But he walked past some naked girls swimming in the pond. In India, the girls, they have a special place where they swim, and the men don't go near there. But because he was Paramahansa, he walked straight through there. But they didn't at all try to cover themselves, because he was completely pure. But his father was chasing after him. Hey, what happened? Our son left home. You don't have children, so they leave home like that. So Vyasadeva wanted to find his son. Naturally, there's affection for the son. So then he chased after him. So as soon as Vyasadeva came, they all covered themselves, because he was a householder. So that's how pure one should be. One should be so pure that even if he's in the company of naked women, that he won't be disturbed and they won't be disturbed. Is anyone that pure? Not yet. So Sukadeva Goswami, eventually he came back home, and actually what happened was that, if I remember the story rightly, he sent out some devotees, and they recited the Bhagavatam verses in the forest. And by hearing those verses, he again came out of the forest. So anyway, Sukadeva Goswami, he made this Srimad Bhagavatam even more nectary, because Srila Vyasadeva had compiled it. And as it says here, that he made some revisions and corrections, or whatever correction means, that because the Srimad Bhagavatam is perfect, therefore he made it completely perfect. And Sukadeva Goswami added this nectarine sweetness by speaking it to Parikshit Maharaj on the banks of the Ganges. Parikshit Maharaj had 7 days to live, and he wanted to know when one is so close to death, that what is the most important thing that one should do? Because everyone has to die. So we're all going to die. No one is going to get out of here alive. So therefore, what is the most important thing when you're going to die? What do? Do you buy a new car, or watch television, or go and have an extra meal or something? So everybody's got different ideas. But actually, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the answer to that question. The whole Srimad Bhagavatam was recited so as that one could understand that the most important thing in this material world is actually the hearing of Krishna's transcendental pastime. Because only by hearing of Krishna's transcendental pastime can one actually revive his spiritual nature. The whole business of the living entity in the material world is that he's in forgetfulness. Every living entity is born into ignorance and forgetfulness. Actually, all of us are eternally related to Krishna. We all have our eternal relationship with Krishna, but we have forgotten. Many times Srila Prabhupada would say, I have come to teach you what you have forgotten. I have not come to introduce anything new, but I have come to teach you what you have forgotten. So that forgetfulness of the living entity is the cause of so many unlimited births in the material world. The reason that you've taken this birth now is because in your last life you forgot Krishna. And in the previous life you forgot Krishna. In the previous life you forgot Krishna. So all of your lifetimes, billions and billions and billions of lifetimes, and billions of days of Brahma, and billions of lifetimes of Brahma, billions of kalpas, all of those, none of them had any significance. Unless one comes in association with the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything else is a useless waste of time. So therefore, the single most important thing that's happened to you in your entire billions upon billions of lifetimes of Brahma is you've come in touch with the Srimad Bhagavatam. And still we can't read it. Still we haven't got time. Isn't that amazing? The one thing that can actually take us out of the cycle of birth and death and old age and disease, the one thing that can cure our anxieties, the one thing that can actually take us back to God, we've got no time for it. But if you bring newspaper or hot press, then everyone is very eager. They want to hear the different pastimes of this thing or that thing. But the thing is, to hear the pastimes of Krishna, I'm so busy. So, therefore, this is so unfortunate. We are so unfortunate. As Lord Chaitanya says that, my dear Lord, you have invested all your transcendental potencies. All the potencies of God are there in the words of Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada said, if you understand just one verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, then you can become liberated, even in this lifetime. So therefore, these verses of Srimad Bhagavatam are to be worshipped by the devotee. Every single one of them contains so much nectar. And another parrot has come. Sukadeva Goswami is one parrot, but there are many parrots in Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada, he is also another transcendental parrot, because he is also repeating the nectar of Sukadeva Goswami, and he's making it more tasty. Sukadeva Goswami is only giving some 4 or 5 lines. Prabhupada, look at it, he's giving it half a page. So he is increasing the nectar more and more and more. So therefore, we can understand, in one sense, that Srila Prabhupada is such a exalted devotee of the Lord, because his whole mission of coming is to actually give his commentaries on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada's lifelong mission was to compile the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he was ordered that by his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and therefore Prabhupada spent his whole lifetime preparing himself for doing this commentation on Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada said, I spent my whole life dedicated to this mission of my Guru Maharaj. So therefore, we can understand that every single word that Srila Prabhupada says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, every single word is perfect, scientifically complete, and is totally and utterly a perfect elaboration on the Acharyas. So therefore, one should not think that Prabhupada is just another commentator, just some other commentator who's got his commentary. Actually, Srila Prabhupada always used to say that my one qualification is that I have never deviated one inch from the teachings of my Guru Maharaj, from the instructions of my Guru Maharaj. And of course, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he is coming in this parampara line, and this parampara line is going back to Srila Vyasadeva. So it is very authorized. Very authorized. First, Srila Vyasadeva is speaking 5,000 years ago. Sukadeva Goswami is speaking. And 5,000 years later, Srila Prabhupada is speaking in the same line. So this nectar is coming, increasing and increasing. So therefore, in this age of Kali, these purports, actually these commentaries, Prabhupada says that my books will be the law books for the next 10,000 years. So it is not just another commentation. It is the supreme commentary for this Kali Yuga. Prabhupada is the representative of Srila Sukadeva Goswami, Srila Vyasadeva, and therefore he has been empowered by Lord Sri Krishna to give these commentaries. And you can see by studying them. By studying them, you can see that Prabhupada has a unique ability to actually explain very, very complex issues. Very, very complex in a very simple way. You see? That's Prabhupada's incredible gift. Actually, some of these issues are so complicated that normally Vedic literature was not supposed to be studied by sutras. Sutras were not meant to even go near Vedic literature because they were so thick. So the sutras' natures are they're pretty thick, thick-headed, because they're more engrossed. The more you become engrossed in the material world, the more you become thick, like this. Is there anyone there? You see? So we become degraded. In previous ages, Prabhupada says, the whole Vedic literature could be remembered by being recited once by the teacher. See? One recital and you could remember. Now, even if you read a book 1,800 times, you still can't remember one verse. Because we become more and more dull, isn't it? The more you become absorbed in Kali Yuga, the more one becomes dull-headed, the more one becomes thick-headed. So nowadays, people have no taste. So that's why Srila Prabhupada has given very nice commentaries so that we can actually somehow or other absorb these verses. So therefore he has wrote such big commentaries, such nice commentaries, and very nicely explained also with perfect reference to all of the other Vedic literatures. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentary on the Brahma Sutras compiled by the same author. The Brahma Sutras are Vedanta Sutras meant for those who are already engaged in self-realization. Srimad Bhagavatam is so made that one becomes at once engaged in the path of self-realization simply by hearing the topics. Although it is especially meant for the Paramahansas, or those who are totally engaged in self-realization. It works into the depths of the hearts of those who may be worldly men. Worldly men are all engaged in sense gratification, but even such men will find in this Vedic literature a remedial measure for the material diseases. So this Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled very nicely in story form, because people like stories. They're not very much interested, especially in Kali Yuga, in philosophical statements. But they're interested in story. People can relate to story. Different things. It's given the various, but it's a very unique literature, very powerful literature, and very attractive to read. Actually, the stories are incredible. They're very wonderful. If you read the Srimad Bhagavatam stories, you will find that you become actually amazed by the powerful intrigues and different things that are going on. So, by the powerful nature of these stories, just by meditation on them, one becomes transferred to the spiritual world. So this is the unique thing. Whereas the Vedanta Sutras, if anyone's ever read any of the Vedanta, you'll find that it's very, very difficult to actually become absorbed because it's so high. The philosophy is so high. And unless you are a Paramahansa. Because generally, you see, the nature of the mind is that the mind works on relativity. So when you hear something, you try to relate it to something. Isn't it? So therefore, most people, they want to relate something. That's why they like these soap operas very much, because they can relate to themselves. They can talk about some street and someone doing the laundry and talking and gossiping. Isn't it? It's all about something extremely mundane, because people can relate to that. You know, the kids start smoking when they're too young and someone runs off with the milkman or something. So they like all that. That's very intriguing and exciting. It's something I was amazed to find. 18 million people watch this Coronation Street every week. So I was thinking, how do they have that sort of time? 18 million people are sitting down, glued to the box. And the whole thing is about one little street in Manchester. And it's been going on for 40 years. So you're wondering, how exciting could be one street in Manchester? It's not even a big street. I think there's only about 20 houses. So how people can watch for 40 years... 18 million people can watch a street in Manchester. And if you give them Srimad Bhagavatam, they have no taste, no attraction, but they would rather find out what did Ken Barlow do when he went to here and there. So much absolute rubbish. And even if it's not true, even if it was true, you can understand, well, it could be a little attractive, but it's not even true. It's about some completely fictitious characters who don't exist. And there was a time I saw where sometimes when there's some drama on the side, then there are thousands and thousands of people are ringing in to find out, is Deirdre all right or whatever her name is, or is this guy all right? Because you know? I was brought up in a family where they were always gossiping about the Coronation Street. And it's, by nature, that thing has been going on more longer than anyone can remember. But the point is that it's such a load of rubbish. Unbelievable. Rubbish. There's not one single part of it that's of any intelligence. And yet it's very attractive. Because people, on the relative platform, they can relate to things. You see, they can relate to something which is relative to their lives. Eskimos want to hear about other Eskimos. Isn't it? Even if they're living in an Antarctic, and there's nothing going on there, it's just ice, an ice desert. But they want to hear what the local Eskimos doing over on the other side of the hill or whatever, on the other side of the glacier. What are they up to? Did they catch any penguins or whatever? You see? So this is the nature, you see, because the mind is a very limited thing because it's conditioned. So therefore, the nature of the mind is it's attracted to very limited substance. That's why it says the Srimad Bhagavatam is attracted to the Paramahansas. You see? Why is it attracted to the Paramahansas? Because they're beyond the material world. Therefore they're attracted. Those people who are within the material world are attracted to the substance of matter. They're attracted to the interreaction of matter. They want to hear all this nonsense. You see? All this nonsense. Just like with our own selves, if you hear, oh, Aunt Nellie fell down the stairs and Uncle George has left home and this and that, this is what people think. When you meet your family, that's what they think they want you to hear. Isn't it? They think that you want to find out all these things. Auntie Margaret's gone into hospital, she's having an operation. Your Uncle Joe is back in prison or whatever. Whatever the pastimes, they think you want to hear that. So that's the nature of hearing. In the material world, people, because they are so much on the bodily platform, therefore they want to hear about other bodies. They want to hear what are other bodies doing. That's why people love looking at television. They want to see what body was crushed on the motorway and what body fell off the skyscraper and landed on top of a car. See, they want to hear all these things about bodies. But actually their mind is absorbed in dead bodies, dead matter. They're absorbed in the pastime. The dead body is a lump of matter which is flapping around for a few days only. We all come in this world and we're all flapping around, isn't it? It's true. We're just flapping, just dead bodies flapping. Just like I saw in Waterford, the rubbish, it accumulates in one corner and then the wind is making it go around in circles, just flapping around. And when the wind stops, it stops. And when it starts again, it starts again. So the material body is like that. According to the modes, everyone's in action, isn't it? The mode of passion, okay, here we go. Go. And then when it cools down a bit, mode of ignorance, we all fall asleep. And in between that, there's a little bit of goodness. But mostly it's passion and ignorance. And it's simply by force. Krishna, Arjuna is saying to Arjuna, Arjuna is saying to Krishna, what is this force that makes me act? I don't want to act, but I'm forced to act. Forced to think in a certain way. Forced to behave in a certain way. Forced to interact in a certain way. And what does Krishna say? It is lust alone, O Arjuna. Lust, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy. So this lust, it is there in the heart of the living entity. Everyone is lusty after their own bodies, and then they're lusty after other bodies. Because they're lusty for their own body, everyone loves their own body, even if it's the ugliest thing on the planet. They love it. Even if it smells, and even if it's got all sorts of problems with it. You see, they love it. They love to hear about them, even when they're a complete nobody. But if anyone's talking about them, they become enlivened. Oh, they're talking about me. Everyone loves their body. You see? And therefore they want the whole world to be talking about their miserable bodies. You see? They want everyone to be talking about their bodies. So therefore, by nature, everybody wants to talk about themselves and they want to hear things which are related to themselves. And these are the things that give excitement. Just like if you're walking in the hallway and someone's in a room and you hear over here and they say, oh, what a wonderful devotee. Ravi, he's such a wonderful devotee. And then you think, oh, that person's very intelligent. Very nice devotee, that person. Whoever's speaking these wonderful things about you, then they're a very nice person, they're intelligent, they're great. You see? Because that is the nature. Because we're absorbed in matter, therefore we are identifying with the material body, then everyone is anxious to expand their glories. We want to expand our glory. And simply, as Srila Prabhupada says, that this is the violence of the material world. This is violence. To speak mundane topics or to hear mundane topics is violence, because you are further implicating the individual living entities in the material world. You are implicating them more and more. By speaking about mundane things, you are absorbing their consciousness in mundane things. That's why we don't have prajalpa. You know what prajalpa? What is prajalpa?
Idle talk.
Idle talk means that talk which will further bring about the false ego of the mind. You see, further bring about the false ego. So therefore in the ashram, there shouldn't be idle talk. There shouldn't be frivolousness. Because it leads, actually, there's a saying that the greatest enemy of bhakti is frivolity. Because as long as one is frivolous, you can't concentrate the mind. The mind cannot be focused. You see? So the nature of, Prabhupada says, in the material world, whenever two or three people get together, they want to talk nonsense. Automatically we're attracted to talking nonsense. Just like the birds, Prabhupada said in the morning. As soon as they wake up, they're making all these different noises. Useless noises. Isn't it? Just you, but they're chattering away. And when people get together, you see them chattering away, chattering like anything, about nothing.
If you go into laundrettes or whatever, or anywhere, you hear people, yup, 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 yup. Supermarkets, yup, 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 yup. All about complete and utter nothing. And they are all very excited about it. They get very excited. They think it's something important, something which is going to give benefit. But all it does is it further brings them down and down into the material bodily concept of life. Therefore, a devotee is silent. A devotee is silent about the material world because a devotee has no interest. That's why the Srimad Bhagavatam is for the Paramahansas, because they're the liberators. Sukadeva Goswami had no interest in the material world. He had no interest in hearing about anything to do with the material world because he was situated in Brahman. He was situated on the absolute plane. Therefore, he was not interested. But immediately, he was attracted to the pastimes of Krishna. Immediately, he was attracted to the pastimes of Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, that is to prove that the next verse, of course, we go on, the Atmarama verse, very famous verse, which Lord Chaitanya spoke on for a very long time. The Atmarama verse is very, very important because it proves that the verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam are capable of giving pleasure even to the Atmaramas. What is the meaning of Atmarama? Atma means soul, and Rama means one who gets pleasure from the soul. You either get pleasure from the material world, or you get pleasure from the soul. In the material world, we are trying to extract pleasure from earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. And in the spiritual world, we get pleasure from Krishna. He is the Paramatma. He is the Paramatma. Therefore, the Atma gets pleasure from the Paramatma. So therefore, those who are situated on the platform of Paramahansa. Paramahansa means the... What is the meaning of Hansa?
Swan.
You don't know? Hansa? Hansa means swan. You see, what is the nature of a swan? The swan travels in the crystal clear lakes, and his only business is to find out within the lotus there is this... nectar of within the stem of the lotus. So therefore that example is used. And the other example is used because the swan can extract milk even in the water. If you throw in a pint of milk into the water, the swan can take the milk and leave the water. So there are many different examples from that. But the Paramahansa is one who is the swan-like. His mind is like a swan and it is always dipping in the nectar of Krishna's pastimes. It is always dipping in the nectar of Krishna's holy name. He is not interested in hearing prajalpa, hearing nonsense, talking nonsense. If you look around, you'll find that all these dead bodies over the millions of years, they've all been doing so much talking. If you were to record everything that was said in the last million years on this planet and put it all in one big box, all of those people who spoke it, they're all gone. Isn't it? They've all gone. All that chattering and gossip and talking, they've all gone. What use did it bring them? What did they actually achieve from all that yapping away? Just like if you watch thousands of hours of television, say you watch Coronation Street for thousands of years, what would be a benefit? Would there be any benefit? Tell me, would there? You just get this incredible migraine, isn't it? You get an incredible headache because there's no benefit from these things. So therefore, actually a devotee is the most intelligent because he is only interested in that thing which is beneficial to him. That's why he doesn't speak for Java. Not because it's a rule, like some rule that I have to follow, like in Christianity. It's some meaningless rule. It is for our eternal benefit that we don't talk nonsense. It's for our eternal benefit that we don't become frivolous, because actually all of that talking adds up to zero. Just like Prabhupada said, if you get millions of zeros, they all add up to zero. So you can talk until your tongue falls out, but it won't bring any benefit. But if you spend one moment talking about Krishna, it will bring eternal benefit. Eternal benefit. Prabhupada said, just one word, if you can capture one word from the Srimad Bhagavatam, from Bhagavad Gita, and properly understand it, it can take you back to home, back to God. So therefore, better one moment of consciousness than millions of lifetimes of unconsciousness. One moment of pure consciousness is worth millions of lifetimes of unconsciousness. So in the material world, the soul is sleeping, and he's giving over authority to the mind and the false ego and the senses. So in the material world, we are in a dreaming condition. We've given over all authority to this frivolous mind. And because the mind is frivolous, the tongue is frivolous. Isn't it? As soon as you've got a frivolous mind, you've got a frivolous tongue. Isn't it? And as soon as you've got a frivolous mind and a frivolous tongue, then the genitals are also frivolous. Straight line. So when the mind is frivolous, the tongue is frivolous, the belly is frivolous, and then the genitals become agitated. And that's how we become implicated. Just like you watch these people. They're all frivolous in the pub, having a good time, yapping away. Then they want to fill their belly with alcohol and something to eat, and then they want to go home and have sex. And then they're implicated. You see? So that is, the frivolity starts in the mind. If the mind is not properly fixed up by the intelligence, then simply it will be wandering around like a small boat on a huge ocean, be pushed around by the waves, pushed around by the wind and the waves. Just like that rubbish, when it gets caught by the wind, it just goes round and round. Sometimes one piece of rubbish is jumping up in the air, another rubbish is going that way, another rubbish is going that way. But there's no meaning to it. It's pushed around by the force of material energy. So therefore, that is the difference between a Goswami and Godasa. Godasa means one who is servant of the mind, servant of the senses, servant of the belly, servant of the tongue, servant of the genitals. So one becomes implicated and more degraded. And then one is Goswami, he's controller of the mind, controller of the senses. He can control the tongue. That's why if you read the Nectar of Instructions, the one who can control the pushings, these urges, the manasavega, the pushing of the mind. The mind is always pushing to say something. Always. Because everybody wants self-importance. You notice that? If you're having a discussion, people want to always be the last word. Or if you're having some talk, they want to be saying the most interesting thing. Or someone wants to say the funniest thing. Come to say, isn't it? Because of self-importance. Everybody wants that their lump of skin and bone should be the most important. So draw attention to it by talking frivolity, and then other people will be attracted. But the point is that this manasa vega, the mind is pushing, and then when the mind is pushing, then it becomes uncontrolled. So one has to control the mind by regulation. Krishna explained, by regulating the mind, you can get control. Regular hearing, regular chanting, attending regular program like this, then gradually you bring the mind under control, engage the mind. So we better stop there. Is there any questions at all on this?
Just through and through expanded spiritual meditation,
the
mind attention.
Sorry? The Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled by Srila Vyasadeva.
Did he compile just the four verses or all?
No, Srila Vyasadeva compiled the entire Srimad Bhagavatam.
How do you start to understand the urges of the soul and the urges of the mind, the difference?
How do you understand?
Well, how do you decipher, kind of, how do you know which... You know,
which is the urges of the soul?
Yeah, what's best for the soul?
You get some urges from your soul?
Well, it must be
from the mind.
I like China. I'm not sure. That's what I mean. I don't know.
Right. So, in the material world, the urges are coming from the false ego in the mind. And in the spiritual world, the urges are coming from your eternal relationship with Krishna, the soul. So the first thing to understand is, who are you? Are you this body or are you spirit soul? Now, to understand you're not that body, you must understand that you're not this false ego, you're not this mind, you're not this material intelligence, you're not these senses, etc., etc. So that's why self-realization is a difficult thing. It's not easy. So sometimes people have mental speculations and they think they're spiritual realizations. but they're actually just mental concoctions. So therefore, everything that comes out of the mind, generally speaking, it is opposed to the Bhagavatam. Generally speaking. But for a devotee, one can check up the three things one can check up with his guru, shastra, and sadhu. You might wake up one morning and decide that your name is Miti Manjari and you're in Vrindavan and actually you collect Krishna's fruit for him in the morning. Right? But you can't do your rounds and you're having trouble with sex life, etc., etc. So therefore you have to confirm whether this could be true with guru, shastra, and sadhu. And if the sadhus say it's a load of rubbish, then you can definitely start to get doubtful. And if you read the shastras, and they also say that for a very neophyte devotee to be running around Vrindavan as a gopi is very rare, then you can start to wonder whether that dream really was you in Vrindavan or not. And then you can understand from guru. See? Because these are the things. Guru, shastra, sadhu. So whatever speculations you have, you should make sure that they are coming from the shastra, or they are, can be verified by shastra, guru, and sadhu. And whatever the guru says, that can be verified by shastra and sadhu. Whatever the sadhu says can be verified by guru and shastra. And whatever the shastras say, they're the absolute truth. As long as they're direct shastra.
I've also been having problems of being, my mind has always been dwelling in the future a lot, and dwelling in the past. Whereas Sean Prabhu pointed out to me that actually it's always best to concentrate on the present because the future will come. So I wonder if you've got any kind of points to help me do that, because it's always in the future and always in the past, but I won't bring it to the present anymore.
You're asking me how to bring it to the present?
Yeah, a little more.
Well, what do you say? You just don't worry so much about the past and don't worry so much about the future. Be in the present. Any other questions? Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam Mahaprabhu Ki Jai.
Jai.